Welcome to the Linux Journal Insider for the 200th issue, December 2010, Reader Choice Awards. All right, this is an exciting issue for Linux Journal readers and Linux Journal editors and Linux Journal podcasters alike. Now, this month I'm here all alone. I'm solo because Kyle is in Spain with his wife on vacation. And while we don't have a problem podcasting across the country, podcasting across the world, while possible, probably wouldn't make Kyle's wife terribly happy on his vacation, so I didn't even suggest it. So you're stuck with just me. But that's alright, because this is an exciting issue nonetheless. We've got the 200th issue, and there's some special things going on in there, plus it's the Reader's Choice issue, which means basically you've written this entire issue. So, you probably already know what's going on, you probably remember voting, but the key is, did you vote for the winner? Well, we'll find out when we go into the Reader's Choice section. Actually, I may not reveal any of the winners, just to make you wait and look inside. But anyway, there's a bunch of cool things going on at Linux Journal. We've been doing online classes. Hopefully, we'll see more videos from yours truly as far as tech tips go. And the website is, you know, you should visit the website if you're not a regular visitor to the Linux Journal website. You should go there. That's where the exciting new things are happening, because it's fast. We want something up, bam, it's up. We don't have to wait for people to print on dead trees. But anyway, we're going to start out this issue, and I'm going to talk about parallel programming with the NVIDIA CUDA. A processor, the GPU. And this is by Alejandro Segovia. And this is it's a great article, because we've talked about CUDA before. And the idea is, you know, CPUs on computers are big and fast and powerful, but there's also those video cards sitting inside your computer just waiting for you to play, you know, some awesome 3D game or, you know, scientific stuff. But, you know, awesome 3D game. And if you want, you can use all of those GPU cycles for doing whatever it is you want to do. Now, this is a neat article because it talks about, vector programming stuff with a little robot on, with a camera on a stick. You got to see it. It's a really neat article. But the gist of the thing is talking about how to use NVIDIA's API to access the GPU of your video card, so that you can crank numbers with that instead of relying on your CPU. It's a great way to make your computer faster than you may think it even is, because the video card, you know, I guess maybe we're thinking now that video cards are a great way to compute things, but just a year or two ago, the thought of doing processing inside of your GPU was not something anybody really considered, unless you were a game programmer. So anyway, it's a really neat article. If you're interested in writing programs that'll take advantage of the GPU, this is a good primer to get you going on how to do that. It's pretty cool. And then, now, if you're not into programming, I personally, you know, I'm not a real big programmer. That's really not my forte. But I am into video editing. And that's one of the things that, you know, as I try to eat my own dog food and use all Linux for all the things I do, I have to look at video editing. Now, Jonah Bacon has an article for us. It's about, I'm not even sure how to pronounce this. It's PITIVI. So PITIVI, PTV. I'm not sure how they want you to pronounce that. I probably should have looked it up, but I'm gonna say it's PITIVI, because that's fun to say. But anyway, this is by Jonah Bacon. It's getting started with PITIVI, and it walks you through how to create a video using this relatively simple video editor that comes, it's a stock, it comes in, installed by default in Ubuntu if you're an Ubuntu user, or you can download it for any other distribution. But anyway, it's a really simple video editor. It lacks a lot of the features that some of the, you know, the bigger, more complex video editors like Cinelera or even KDE and Live. A lot of those programs are really complex and can do more, but can also be a little overwhelming. And that's where Pativi comes in, and it just aims to be that quick little get a video done and upload it to YouTube kind of thing. Because everybody wants to have the next viral video uploaded to YouTube, right? That's our goal in life. But anyway, it's a great article, and it will show you how to do, how to manage the entry-level video editor for Linux. And it's a relatively stable little program, too. You know, I tried it for a while, and while it doesn't have all the features that I'd like for it to have, it's under heavy development, and it's only going to get better. Hopefully, some of the things it doesn't do now, it'll be able to do in the future without getting much more complicated. I think that's really where it strives, is in its simplicity. And I don't want to say, speaking of simplicity, Bill Childers, but the next article I want to talk about is actually by Bill Childers, and he reviews the Barnes & Noble Nook. Now, Bill and I actually disagree on the Nook. It's interesting. You should read his review. I actually didn't write a review, but we both bought a Nook. It's the Barnes & Noble e-book reader. And, of course, this is one of these devices that's running Linux. And this one is actually even running Android, which is kind of cool. But anyway, Bill and I greatly disagree. I am an e-book, I don't want to say aficionado, but I'm more of an e-book reader collector. I probably have owned half a dozen long before they were really cool, back when they were on LCD screens and stuff. But I bought the Nook, and I actually returned it. It's the only ebook reader I've ever returned. But Bill goes in, and he really enjoyed it. So I guess that's proof that, you know, there's room for everybody in the Linux world. Some people like something, some people hate something. So it's good to read the review and see what you think. I will admit, one of the cool things about the Nook that Bill gets into is it's pretty simple to hack. So, you know, you can hack it, you can get root, you can install, you know, other applications on it, you can install things so that it works the way you want it to work. And the device itself looks cool with its little color screen and plus its e-ink display. So while as a device, I think it's pretty cool, I just didn't really like it as an ebook reader. But you read Bill's article, you decide for yourself, and you feel free to, you know, send me hate mail about how dumb I am for not liking it. Especially since my reader of choice is actually a Sony, and I don't even think the Sony's running Linux, which makes me feel dirty inside. But I just like the interface that it has. So anyway, I do own a Kindle running Linux, so maybe that redeems me a little bit. But anyway, the big thing this month is, well, of course, all the articles are pretty awesome, but the focus this month is the Reader's Choice Awards. And the Reader's Choice Awards, if you're a new Linux Journal reader, you may not even know what it is we're talking about, but every year we go through and the readers, that's you or the listeners or the mental implant osmosis data absorbers, boy, that was pretty contrived. But anyway, go through and vote on all the different aspects of the Linux world, like best Linux distribution, best desktop environment, best web browser, best microblogging client, best video editor, I don't know if it's video editor on there. If not, it will be next year because I said that and it's put on there. But best game, best kid-friendly application. There's a ton of different categories. And you guys actually go and vote, and our readers vote on what is the best. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. It's neat if you've been reading Linux Journal for a while. The best desktop environment goes back and forth. You know, it's not like there's always a, you know, it's not like the 1 year KDE will win, 1 year GNOME will win, 1 year KDE will win, 1 year GNOME will win. You know, I don't know. I'm waiting for 1 year, you know, Xterm to win as the favorite desktop. But so far it's usually KDE or GNOME. What is it this year? Well, you know, you're going to have to read. You're going to have to figure that out by opening up your issue and looking. I will give you a taste of something. Let's see. Let me look through here. I thought this was interesting. Best backup solution. Now, what backup solution? Now, honestly, it's the one that I voted for is not here, but you guys voted, and the best backup solution is rsync. I just love that we're a geeky crowd of people that actually consider just the command line rsync as the best backup tool. Now, in my defense, I voted for backup PC, and backup PC uses rsync in the background. So, you know, I mean, I voted for the winner, so I think I should count that as a, you know, a victory in my head. But anyway, it's a neat article. It's neat to see where other people in the Linux community are standing on things. You know, maybe you're holding out and you just really, really, really prefer the what's that next step clone? Maybe that's your desktop manager of choice, and you don't understand why the rest of the world just doesn't cave to your whims. But nonetheless, it's great to see what other people are thinking. And usually for me, now this is funny, every year I read this, and I'll go through, and there'll be one category, and the winner will be a program that I didn't even know existed. So like most of our readership are very familiar with it, use it daily, voted for it as their favorite application, or, you know, whatever, for this particular topic, and I had never heard of it. So for me, it's great to go through and say, huh, well, I may have to try that if it got, you know, the most votes from our readers. So it's a great article. You should read it because it's just fun. I mean, everybody wants to see open source projects get awards, right? And let's see, I think there may even be some commercial things on there. If you want to see what commercial packages that us as Linux Journal readers actually prefer, that's great. I would tell you what the favorite Linux Journal column is, but I'm not going to, because Kyle's not here, and, you know, he was in the running there, so I don't want to, without Kyle here, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but, yeah, check out that article, it's pretty good. I will say one more, the best Linux smartphone, Kyle owns it, yeah, it's the Nokia 900, oh yeah, have to go, but really read the article. It's great. Lastly, instead of the mailbag this month, the end of the year, anyway, instead of going and reading one of the letters to the editor, in this issue, we've done something a little bit different. Sure, we still have letters to the editor, but what we've also done is taken some recommendations from you guys. I posted out on the website. We did a man on the street interview, digitally and virtually and online. I don't know what that's really called. Packet on the ether interview instead of man in the street. Anyway, and I wanted to come up with a list of 200, again, you know, the 200th issue, but 200 things that you guys do with Linux. And we had a ton. And so basically, there's just a list of 200 things here that people do with Linux with, you know, name attribution, which is cool. You'll forever be, you know, immortalized in the 200th issue of Linux Journal. But I just want to read through a couple of these instead of reading a letter from the mailbag. So here we go. Number one, actually work instead of waiting for reboots. That's by Tim Chase. Add extra monitors. That's by the staff here. Analyze water level and precipitation data. Now, that's something I've never done with Linux, but it's great to hear it's being done. That was by Keith Nunn. Analysis of remote sensing imagery. Not only haven't I done that, I'm not sure I even understand what that means. But Micah Silver does, because that's the number four item submitted here. Now, this isn't in order. This is just in a random order. Actually, I think it's in alphabetical order. So all the ones I'm going to read will start with A. Antagonize Windows Users by John Abbott. Anything I need since 1994. Ba-da-boom. By Manuel Trujillo. As the basis for FOSS conferences, that's Moose from Ohio Linux Fest. Audio chat, the Linux Journal staff. Actually, I think I put that one in because I audio chat with Kyle every month to do this podcast. Avoid using Microsoft Windows, Simon Quantrill. And yeah, so, you know, there's 200 things, maybe some of these things you do with Linux, maybe some of them you don't, I don't know. But they're fun to read. Some people, I think, may have been going for silliness, but that's okay. We're all about being silly here at Linux Journal as well. And then we also have a bunch of Linux Journal subscribers who submitted their little bios. So if you're curious what other Linux Journal readers look like and sound like and write like, I'd say smell like, but it's a magazine, people. There's not much more we can do there. But read on this. We have photos and we have little bios of Linux Journal readers. It's kind of cool. It was great for me to go through and actually see people and, you know, read a bio of a bunch of our different readers. It's great to see that. So anyway, that's the 200th issue of Linux Journal, and I know that this podcast wasn't as exciting as normal because I'm just all alone. I don't have my partner in crime, Kyle. But that's okay. He'll be back next month for the January issue. So I would like to thank you for listening to Linux Journal Insider for the December 2010 issue. 200th issue! Woohoo! Make sure to pick up a copy on newsstands in mid-November. Now, subscribers, if you're listening to this, you may already have a copy in your hands, and if not, it's on its way. Hope you enjoy it. Next month, January, is our system administration issue, and Kyle will be back with me as well, so make sure to tune in again, and don't forget to visit us between now and then at www.linuxjournal.com. We'll see you there. Bye, Kyle.
Bye, Sean.
Okay, that was a bad Kyle impersonation. We'll see you next month.